Good evening, church. Thanks for joining us here on this Lord's Day service. It's a blessing to be here with you. We're going to be reading the Word of God. We're starting in Proverbs chapter 15, verses 1, all the way through to verse 19. So please turn with me in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 15, starting from verse 1, and we're going through to verse 19. It reads, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. A fool despises his father's instruction, but he who receives correction is prudent. In the house of the righteous there is much treasure, but in the revenue of the wicked is trouble. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the fool does not do so. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. The way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but he loves him who follows righteousness. Harsh discipline is for him who forsakes the way, and he who hates correction will die. Hell and destruction are before the Lord. So how much more the hearts of the sons of men? A scoffer does not love one who corrects him, nor will he go to the wise. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. The heart of him who has understanding seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools feeds on foolishness. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he who is of a merry heart has a continual feast. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fatted calf with hatred. A wrathful man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger allays contention. The way of the lazy man is like a hedge of thorns, but the way of the upright is a highway." I'm excited to hear what's preached on that section of scripture later on by Paul. I pray that it will be a blessing for all of us.
If you would, while I set up here, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 15, Proverbs the 15th chapter, and we'll get set up here, start up our screen. Proverbs 15. And we'll kind of use Proverbs 15 as a jumping off point this evening. And we're continuing our series entitled Principles from the Proverbs. And we're going through the book of Proverbs, not from a chapter by chapter standpoint, not that kind of approach, not by a verse by verse approach, but because the book doesn't necessarily lend itself to that kind of approach, although there are various passages and chapters in the book that do. But rather, we're going to look at various topics that are covered throughout the book. And that's kind of unique to me. It's a bit of a challenge to me because I'm really not used to preaching topically, but good to be challenged also. So join with me as we look at Proverbs chapter 15. We're going to read just a few verses as sort of an introduction before we dive into our topic today. And we're going to be talking about a topic that, well, maybe many pastors, churches, kind of refrain from talking about a bit. We're going to talk about the topic of money or material possessions. Now we realize that in the New Testament, there is this concept, that believers, those who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, who are part of his family, have the opportunity, the responsibility of being stewards of the things that God gives us. Now, we are a blessed people. We truly are. Most all of us, I think, if not all of us, have a roof over our heads. We have clothes to wear. We have food sitting on our table. And we have a car to drive. We have a mobile phone to use. We are a blessed people. And these are resources that God has given us. They are all God's, according to what his word says. They all belong to him, but he has given those things, those resources to us, to enjoy ourselves. But not only that, but to give him glory, to honor him with the way we handle our resources and the way we handle our money. So I hope that comes through loud and clear through the verses that we look at today, tonight. And we're going to look at responsible handling of money, the attitudes that we have regarding money, and the means that we have by in obtaining it. Obtaining it by the right means. And maybe next week we'll continue this topic and cover maybe some cautions or some warnings that the Bible gives us regarding money, or maybe you might say the love of money. But right now, let's look at Proverbs chapter 15, starting with verse 16. Proverbs chapter 15, starting with verse 16. We'll read a couple of verses here. The Bible says here, "Better is a little with fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble." I think that was the verse that was actually up on the screen before the service started. And boy, do we need to understand that verse, don't we? I mean, money is not the answer to everything. A lot of people who have money do not have happiness. Now, money doesn't necessarily negate happiness if it's handled correctly, but there is this kind of odd view that somehow money itself brings happiness. It does not. Now, let's look at verse 17, because it reinforces that idea. "Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fatted calf with hatred." Now, the idea is this. It's better if you just have herbs or you eat a vegetarian diet, but there's love present. Now, I kind of shudder at the thought of a vegetarian diet, because I'm what I call myself, a meatitarian. I do eat some vegetables. That's okay. But to eat only vegetables might be a little scary for me. The idea is, maybe all you have to eat is vegetables. But the Bible says that's fine if there's love present. If there's unity, there's harmony in that home. And if you have a cow in the stall, in other words, all the beef that you could care to eat, that's not good if hatred comes with it. The atmosphere in which you enjoy the good things of God is the key here. And that atmosphere is not created by the abundance of things that you have, the abundance of possessions, or let's look at the other side, even the lack of possessions. Now, I know plenty of people throughout my life who were poor, who would say something like this. Maybe you've heard it before. "We were poor, but we didn't know it." And boy, what a testimony, what a tremendous testimony that is, that statement. "We were poor, but we didn't know it." Now, why? Well, because there was love there. Even though maybe they didn't have all the things that some other people might have had, or maybe even all the things they thought maybe that they needed. There are plenty of people who have all the health, all the wealth in the world, and that wealth accompanies with it misery. Now, that does not have to be so. But the Bible says, if you have to choose between wealth and happiness, choose happiness. Choose happiness. Well, let's look at verse 18 there. Verse 18 says, "A wrathful man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger allays contention. The way of the lazy man is like a hedge of thorns, but the way of the upright is a highway." Now think about that. The way of the lazy man is like a hedge of thorns. What does that mean? Now, we're dealing with what I told you, with material possessions. A lazy man is an individual who does not take care of his responsibilities. I mean, have you ever tried to walk through thick bushland or forest, maybe somewhere where there might not have been a trail? You just tried to maybe create a trail in there. Inevitably, you come across a thick patch of thorn bushes that kind of block your way. And you can't go through them very quickly, can you? And as you try to push your way through them, those thorns poke you and they prod you, and it hurts. And everywhere you turn, you get stuck. You get stuck in your arms, and you get stuck in your legs, and in your hands, and in your feet. And it impedes your progress. Everywhere you turn, you feel pain. Well, that's exactly what the Bible is talking about here. The lazy man, because he's not careful in his financial dealings, in his business dealings, every time he turns around, he feels the pain of something because he's not thoughtful in maintaining his house. It's as if everything is attacking him because he's not thoughtful. He's too lazy to take care of anything. And the thorns have kind of enclosed him. Well, laziness brings about problems that keep a person from getting what he wants and from pleasing the Lord with his material possessions and his finances. Their life is like you think about a poor person. Their life is like a hedge of thorns. It just hurts everywhere they turn. But the upright, by contrast, have a clear path with fewer problems. Their life is kind of like a smooth highway. Nothing impedes their progress. Now, we're going to look today at managing material possessions. Now, the idea of material possessions not only includes money, although it does, but it goes beyond that to all the things that we own. Now, we live in our day and in our country today, we live in a time of unparalleled prosperity. We really do. I mean, the poorest among us enjoys material possessions unknown to just a few generations back. Now, think about this. Most people today have a car. Most people today have a mobile phone. And the hardships that even the poor experience today are muted and blunted compared to the hardships that people have experienced even just a few generations ago. And I remember hearing a while back on the radio, a man from India who desired to immigrate to the United States. And so that's just what he did. He immigrated there. And they wanted to interview him on the radio, talking about his experience in India. And this man had been lived in a rather poor section of India. And the guy interviewing him said this: "Why would you want to come to America all the way from India? I mean, you left your family, you left your home. Why did you come to America?" And here's what the man from India said. He said, "Because in America, even the poor people are fat." And it's really not much different here in Australia, is it? I mean, that is an indication that we are a materially blessed nation. And that is significant. And we know more blessing than any generation ever has. But for many, the problem is not in obtaining possessions, but rather in managing those possessions, and really, in some cases, disposing of them. I have known individuals who were so wealthy that they actually had to hire people to give their stuff away. I know of a person who runs a business in the U.S. who has a man on his personal staff. And it's that man's personal job simply to minister to pastors. And this particular individual buys cases of books. And he has a list of over 400 pastors, some of whom I know, whom he sends books to. But, you know, somehow I haven't gotten on his list yet. I'm trying to figure that out. But this guy has a full-time guy on his staff simply there to send out those books. They say, by the way, Bill Gates really struggles with this, poor guy. He's so burdened down with money so burdened down with money that he needs help in giving it away. So the Bill Gates Foundation has employees that are hired just to give his money away. Now, wouldn't you love to be in a position like that? Someone figured out Bill Gates' net worth, and they figured out how much money Microsoft was raking in, and they kind of used all the information and they came up with an hourly wage for Bill Gates. And it was based on based on Bill Gates' hourly wage. If Bill Gates was walking down the street and there was a $100 note lying on the footpath in front of him, it would be a waste of his time to bend over and pick up that $100 note. Now, isn't that ridiculous? We are a prosperous generation. Now, Solomon, a man who wrote many of these proverbs that we're going through and studying on. Solomon was a man of tremendous material holdings. And he presents timeless advice for our attitudes and for our actions regarding physical possessions. So let's see what advice he has to give us from the book of Proverbs regarding maintaining material possessions. And we're going to look at Roman numeral number 1. Roman numeral number 1 says this. Now, I hope you had a chance to print up the outline. I think it's on the website if you have a chance to do that. Roman numeral number 1, recognize that God is the ultimate source of material blessing. God is the ultimate source of material blessing. Now, let's look at Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 22. Now, I have the verse up on the screen. I'm not necessarily going to wait for everyone to turn. I won't know if you're there anyways. So I hope you can keep up. If not, look at the screen here. Proverbs 10:22 says this: "The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it." Now, listen to this. People who are Christian people, who know the Lord, who have a relationship with him, and who have been blessed financially, have a huge responsibility. Now, sometimes there's a tendency with people, even with Christians, to look at someone who has money and kind of sneer at them. But listen, if God has blessed someone uniquely in a financial and material way, do not be that person's critic. God has given them that material blessing for his own purposes. So let's look at that. Let's look at point A under Roman numeral number 1. Material prosperity is sometimes, I repeat, sometimes the result of God's direct blessing. It's sometimes the result of God's direct blessing. Now, that is the case in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 22, where the verse we just read. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich. It is sometimes the result of God's direct blessing. Well, let's look at number 1 under letter A. God's blessing results in actual prosperity. Actual prosperity, not the mirage of prosperity brought about by things like debt. Well, let's pause there for a moment. When we talk about material possessions, there are a lot of people who have in their custody a lot of things that really don't belong to them. Now, I purchased a car in the U.S. a while back. And that car is an example of one of those things. I bought the car for my son Benjamin to get around in. He drives back and forth from our state of Indiana to Bob Jones University in North Carolina, and he uses that car. But somebody may ask, is that your car? Well, it's mine, and it's Teachers Credit Union's. I'm currently trying to pay it off from Teachers Credit Union so I can snatch it out of their clutches. They actually own the title of the car. They own the right to it now. But if you look at that car, you might think, well, oh, hey, he's got a lot of money. No, I owe money on that car. So many of us owe money on a house or a vehicle or furniture or things like that. And maybe there are some people who owe money on just about everything they own. And that's the appearance of wealth, of material prosperity. And in reality, it's a mirage. It's not wealth. It's a facade. Now, that is not particularly the direct blessing of the Lord when it's incurred through things like debt. Because when God blesses, one is rich in actuality, not merely in appearance. Well, let's look at number two. Material prosperity is not always an indication of God's direct blessing. Remember, we said sometimes, right? But not always. Not always an indication of God's direct blessing. And I choose my words very carefully here. God's direct blessing. Of course, if you follow the principles of Scripture concerning finances, either knowingly or even unknowingly, you will succeed over the guy who ignores them. But there are other avenues to material prosperity, and they would include maybe what I just talked about, debt, that mirage of prosperity. Or they might include things like hard work or inheritance. You know, there are some people who inherit large sums of money. Investment can lead to prosperity. Circumstances that come into our lives, or even, yes, even dishonesty. People can become wealthy through dishonesty. Outward prosperity, then, is not always indicative of God's direct blessing. Now, some people, yes, God has directly blessed and prospered. You know, I knew of a guy who was an auto mechanic, and he only had an eighth grade education. He started a business, a garage, repairing cars with just a couple of bays. And in a few years, his business grew to a garage with eight bays. And he was a dear Christian man who put the Lord's work first. And he gave away much of what he had, much of what he earned to help people with. And as I understand, one time a traveling evangelist came to his shop at one point to get his truck worked on. And the evangelist was going to leave it with him and come back a few days later and pick up his truck when it was repaired. He left it there. And as they looked at the truck, they quickly realized, they found there were far too many problems with that truck than they could ever be fixed. It just wasn't going to make it back on the road. And so this garage owner, he was a bit sad, thinking about how he was going to break the news to this traveling evangelist that his truck was no longer serviceable. And he thought about it for a while. He thought about how he was going to do that. And you know what? He hopped in this car. He drove to the nearest, to the local new car dealer, and he bought a truck. Brand new truck with all the bells and whistles on it for well over $50,000 US. And he just gave it to the evangelist when the evangelist showed up to pick up his old truck. And you could just see the direct blessing of God being poured out on that mechanic's life and on his business, because he was so faithful to the Lord. He gave to the Lord's work faithfully. He helped people out. And that would be an example, maybe, of God's direct blessing. Well, let's look at letter B. God's blessing results in material prosperity that is free from anxiety. It's free from anxiety. Let's look again at Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 22. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. No sorrow with it. It is material prosperity that is free from anxiety. You know, when misery accompanies prosperity, that prosperity is not directly from God. If you have anxiety because you have a lot of riches, well, don't consider that to be the blessing of God. Because the Bible is more interested in your personal peace than with your material prosperity. Well, let's look at Roman numeral number 2. This is actually our last major point. Roman numeral number 2. Material things should be obtained through the right means. And we'll focus on this the rest of the message. Material things should be obtained through the right means. Now, how do we or how should we get material things today? How do we obtain them? Well, let's look at letter A. One way is hard work and honesty. Hard work and honesty. Again, let's look at the Proverbs, see what they have to say. Proverbs 13 and verse 11. Now, I'm doing something here in this particular slide, this particular verse that I don't normally do. I normally use the New King James, but I think the King James Version uses, you can get the gist of the verse a little better, I think, here. So I'm using that. And it says here, wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. Now the New King James uses the word, talks about gaining wealth by dishonesty, but I think vanity is a better fit. So what does it mean to get wealth by vanity? Well, it implies something that is unsubstantial or worthless. The Old Testament uses this word for the worship of idols. It's that which is unprofitable. It just comes to nothing. Understanding that, let's go to point one. Wealth procured by vanity is fleeting. Wealth procured by vanity is fleeting. Now, that would include things like pyramid schemes, the lottery, get-rich-quick schemes, etc., all sorts of things like that. All such wealth vanishes as quickly as it comes. Now, listen to this, please. There is no such thing as easy money. There's no such thing as easy money. And you know what? If you meet up with easy money, easy meaning gotten by vanity or emptiness or through no effort, if you meet up with it, the Bible teaches that that money is rapidly diminished. A while ago, I think it was in the U.S., there was an investigative report on the curse of the lottery. And in it, they traced the lives of individuals who had won the lottery and found out that these people, for the most part, were, before they won, nice, decent people who, after they came upon all these millions of dollars, were completely ruined. And some of them, I mean, their families were ruined, their relationships were ruined, and some of them even ended up in abject poverty and bankruptcy. Why? Because the scripture says, wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished. Now, why is that the case? Well, let's look at letter A under number one there. Easy money is not highly valued. Easy money is not highly valued. Now, what comes easily also spends easily. People who all of a sudden get a sudden windfall, suddenly have a brand new list of needs and wants. They usually indulge themselves. Why? Well, because they're not valuing money and the possessions that they have. And I'll tell you what, we all kind of do that, don't we? I think none of us have ever had a bit huge windfall. But wasn't there a time for most of us when even $100 was a small fortune? And today, we're a little more prosperous. And so $100 really doesn't mean as much. I mean, we could buy the next video game for over $100. But the value of that $100 has not changed. $100 is still $100, but our attitude has changed. And sometimes Sometimes we become careless with money. Sometimes governments become careless with money when they get an influx of that, or maybe even churches. Well, point B. Easy money does not include the financial lessons that come with work. Easy money does not include the financial lessons that come with work. And you know what? Work is a wonderful teacher. You know, God said, and we were reminded of this, God said after the fall, in the sweat of your face, you shall eat bread. You're going to sweat. You're going to have labor. And that labor is going to be hard, but labor is good and labor is healthy. And it is a good teacher. It is good for young men, to work hard. The Bible says there in Lamentations 3:27, it is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. That means to perform hard work. It comes with an education that books can't provide. Well, let's look at letter C. Easy money is typically temporary. Easy money is typically temporary. Why? Well, because it has no vehicle for replenishment. Or maybe it's driven by unique circumstances. Maybe the next fad that comes around or whatever. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, if a person wins the lottery, chances are that they'll only win the lottery once in a lifetime. Many who win the lottery blow it within just a few years, and they end up maybe even in worse financial condition than they were before. And some people strike it rich through some sort of speculative thing. All of a sudden, they jump on the next bandwagon or fad, and all of a sudden they've got some money. Maybe they've introduced the next fad. But there's really nothing that drives that speculation because it's not a regular industry. And so as soon as the next fad comes around, it folds very quickly. And it only lasts a short while and people just move on to the next fad. There is no driving force behind easy money. And listen, you probably already know this, but I'll say it anyways. Okay? Don't ever fall for any of those internet offers. Ever. If someone sends you an email and you don't know them, they're not your friend. You know, they're trying to take advantage of you. I don't know how many times I've had some Nigerian prince write me and let me know that he needed to offload some of his millions very quickly. And he's quote unquote a good Christian man. And so he's decided that the entirety of his millions should go to some deserving pastor. And I've been chosen. And he wants to funnel it all through my personal bank account for me to be its custodian. And I can use it for whatever I see fit and just enjoy it. And all they want me to do is just to send them maybe a few thousand dollars as sort of a handling fee. I get emails like that every so often. And I think I just got one this week. Did you know there are oftentimes, there are people who fall for those things and who will send the money in. But I'll say it again. Easy money is not real money. It's never real money. Don't be fooled. Well, let's look at number two under letter A. Hard work and honesty ensure increasing wealth. Hard work and honesty ensure increasing wealth. Now let's look back at our verse again. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. If we gain because we work, it is the increase of true wealth. The pain of labor teaches the necessity of wisdom and thrift. And when you work for it, you appreciate it. When you sweat for it, you're less likely to kind of dole it out to any impulse that comes along because it took time and it took pain and it took labor to an effort to amass that sort of money. Again, a while back in the U.S., I'm using a lot of U.S. studies here, but a study came out that said that students who earn their own, in other words, they're working, they earn their way, at least somewhat, through university, actually are more successful and value their education more. And I suppose the obvious reason would be that if you're investing in something with your own money, you're going to value it more. You're going to want to get your money's worth. And you're going to attend all your classes, and you're going to do all your work, and you're so that you have something to show for it, for your investment. And there's certainly more of a sense of achievement that you've done it. You've made it through yourself. You've gotten yourself through. But even apart from that, they found that working a little during the school year, not too much, but at least working a little during the school year, helped develop a sense of organization and time management, which resulted in higher grade point averages. And some employers, such as my son Ben works for, McDonald's, offer scholarships to their employees. And so it's a way of helping pay for university also. So it's a great benefit also not having to be crippled with student loan debt, which is pretty common in the U.S., which has to be paid back after graduation. So there are many blessings that are attached to good, honest work. It's part of God's plan for us too. It glorifies Him. It teaches us many life lessons, like how to appreciate the money we've earned, how to use it wisely, and to seek God's direction in that. And so there's also this sense of satisfaction as we kind of look down at the food that's on our table, knowing that it is a gift from God given to us as a reward for good, honest labor. And that, friends, is satisfaction. We've got to thank God for that also. The Bible emphasis is on wealth gotten through labor. Wealth is always available for those who are willing to work. Well, let's look at another means of gaining wealth. Letter B. Effective resource management. Effective resource management. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 4. Because it says there, where no oxen are, the trough is clean. But much increase comes by the strength of an ox. A clean or an empty crib or trough indicates there are no oxen to feed. And hence, maybe, in a sense, you're free of the trouble of cleaning that stall and caring for the animals and feeding them, and maybe expenses would be less. All right, he's saving money and effort, right? But this so-called advantage is offset by the end of the verse. Without the use of oxen, this verse implies, the harvest won't be that great. To be productive, one must use the appropriate means. And for the farmer, oxen are indispensable. So a wise farmer will see to it that his oxen are numerous and in good condition, fed well. And that may mean a messy trough and the spending on food and things like that. But in the end, even more increase comes from it. Every successful effort involves obtaining and employing our resources to multiply our return. Now, be careful with the resources that you have and use those resources to multiply a greater return. Well, I'll tell you what, it's always a great feeling to have new, fancy, shiny tools. And I do buy them from time to time. Sometimes my wife thinks I'm addicted to buying new tools. But if all I do is collect tools and never use them, I won't get any return on my investment. So if I want to earn the money so that I can buy even more tools and fancier tools, I need to put to work the ones that I have. And that means they won't stay new or even clean for long. but the reward is worth it. Use the resources you have for your advantage. Letter C. Another means of gaining wealth, righteous living. Righteous living. Now, this is, by the way, for the long haul. The long haul. Look at Proverbs chapter 24 and verses 3 and 4. Proverbs 24, verses 3 and 4. Because there it says, through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Let's look at Roman numeral number 1. Wisdom, that is the proper use of knowledge, knowledge properly applied, wisdom establishes a home. Wisdom establishes a home. Again, through wisdom is a house built, and by understanding it is established. Wise choices, again, made over that long haul, will result in strong, stable homes, including financial stability. So what do we need? We need wisdom. And I especially implore our young people, gain biblical wisdom for handling every aspect of life, especially your finances. It is through wisdom that we can succeed in these areas of life. Number 2, knowledge is the key to material prosperity. Knowledge is the key to material prosperity. Again, the end of, verse 4. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. And that's what we're talking about today. Following biblical principles. Having a good work ethic. You know what? That's scriptural. Investment principles. Yes, they're found in the Bible. How to use our money properly for our own benefit, yes, but for God's glory also. That's found in the Bible. Multiplying our investment returns. And then, consumer principles. What's that? Maybe not buying things on impulse, not getting into at least too much debt, things like that. It's all in the Bible, and we can find those principles and we can gain the knowledge we need. All of these conservative principles are taught in the scriptures. Righteous living will eventually accumulate wealth. But again, it comes over the long haul. It is not instantaneous. Now, listen carefully here. There is no prosperity gospel found in the Bible. There is no prosperity gospel found in the Bible except for work, hard work, and thrift. That's the only prosperity theology in the Bible, hard work and thrift. And these pastors that get on TV, sporting on their arms a fancy Rolex and declare that if you send them $100, they'll send you back a prayer cloth and you're going to prosper. Well, that is utter baloney. There's not anything about that in the Bible. But the Bible does teach that hard work and thrift, following scriptural financial principles, will ultimately bring us financial success and, yes, a measure of material prosperity. So, let's look at our very last means of obtaining wealth through the right means, humility and the fear of the Lord. Humility and the fear of the Lord. Now, let's think again. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 20. Well, not again, but we'll look at Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 4. And the Bible says there, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. How about that? Almost word for word. By humility and the fear of the Lord. Now, listen again very closely. It is not that God desires to withhold blessings from you. But the fact that you must put yourself in the place of God's blessing. You must put yourself in the place of God's blessing. God does not bless everyone equally. He doesn't. But it is always fair. because God's blessings are contingent on our obedience to the principles of the Word of God. And some of those principles of the Word of God are, in fact, immutable laws that God has set in this universe to make things work. Even unsaved people who don't know the Bible, but who maybe by accident follow the principles, some of the principles contained in the scriptures, because a lot of them are just plain common sense, will find themselves prospering, not understanding that they're doing what the Bible teaches. But my emphasis here is this: a right relationship with God, walking with Him, humility, fearing Him, that is the pathway to material blessing. And might I say also to glorifying and honoring God with our lives, which is the ultimate goal, isn't it? Not only that, though, but this verse says it is the way to honor. A reputation and a name that is sterling and is upright. And he says that is the way to life. Humility and the fear of the Lord. Now, in these verses we read as we opened up, let's look at a couple of them as we began the sermon with. We read this, that it's better to have a vegetarian diet than to be happy, and to have love, than to have all the steak in the world that you could eat and be in contention, and to be filled with hatred and to have hatred all around you. It's better to be satisfied with a little, the little that you have, and be joyful. And in that sense, be very rich. Or as we heard before, it's better to be poor and to be so happy that you don't even know you're poor than it is to have everything in the world and be miserable. And when God blesses materially, the Bible says, in that one verse we read before, he adds no sorrow with it. He adds no sorrow with it. Money doesn't have to make you miserable if it's done properly, if it's gained by the proper means, if it's a blessing from God as a reward for being faithful with what he's given you. And there'll be no sorrow added to it. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for its clarity. What wonderful principles that we've heard and we've read today. And Lord, again, we've just barely scratched the surface. Would you take the word of God and help us to apply it to our lives in very specific ways? Make us, Lord, better stewards of the things that you've given us, more faithful with the thousands of things that you've, we're surrounded with, that you've given us, that you've, allowed us to have as a gift and a blessing to us and to our lives. We thank you for it. We know it all belongs to you. We thank you for the opportunity to use it in a right way, both big things and even little things. Lord, Father, give us thankful hearts for the material prosperity that we do enjoy, for the things that we have. Oh, Lord, for too often we are focused so much on the things that you take, or maybe the things that you don't give, rather than the things that that you've blessed us with. Lord, forgive us for that. Help us to always be thankful. And make us, Lord, careful to use the things that you've given us, the resources that we have, for your honor and for your glory. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.